Jason's Blockbusters will not be heard at this time because the host is celebrating a birthday this weekend. In its place, we present the following.
This is Gordon Pepper, and as you can figure out, someone's having a birthday. Happy birthday, yeah. Chico!
Oh, no! Wrong! Oh!
2 weeks late, dude!
It's a few weeks late, and, well, in approximately 2 hours on the East Coast, hour and 10 minutes on the East Coast as we record this, I will be turning years old, okay? Please buzz it. Please speak that.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
Jump out!
Yeah, but, there is a lot, and I need a lot of Jeopardy news. A lot of other shows that we're dealing with, and we have a lot of good news and bad news about a lot of different stuff. So, Chico, if you would.
I would gladly, but only because you are so nice about it, from somewhere in America, WLTI is on. Let's go!
Whee! Welcome to the birthday boy edition of We Love to Interrupt. This is episode number 479. My name is Jason Block, strength and conditioning coach, all around good guy. And I am with my brothers from another mother, Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well. Hope you are.
I am, but we've got a lot of Jeopardy news, so hit Mr. Gilbert, please.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
Yes, and we go back to last night's show, which was Celebrity Jeopardy, and we have Robin Seed, who was playing for Women in Film, the co-creator of A Black Girl Sketch Show, Blake Anderson, who is playing for The Turtle Conservancy, and Susie Essman from Curb Your Enthusiasm, who is playing for City Harvest, a very great New York charity.
It was one of those games that it was not very competitive, but it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, and we go to the final Jeopardy, and it was a lock game for Robin, and Blake was in a negative, but you know what? To heck with it. Let's give him $500 in the category of 1980s movie themes.
That's going to be a hard one.
Yeah. This song was inspired by an ad in the film itself, which sounded like TV commercials for pest control service. Please. Come
like
on.
Do you want me to do the actual scene?
No, it's just, it's who you gonna call? Ghostbusters.
We're ready to believe you.
Right, and no one got it right, but Robin moves on to the semifinals. Okay, now we move to pop culture, Jeopardy, and more quarterfinal matches. In the next one, we have Running Up That Chili, Otrivia Rodrigo, and Only Winners in the Building. And after the end of Otrivia Rodrigo had 28, Only Winners in the Building 18-4, and Running Up That Chili 13-4. By the way, not for nothing, I will just say this, the games are getting better from an answering perspective, that they're actually getting stuff, but the final Jeopardy clue is, where are we here? Fingers.
By the way, Only Winners of the Building. There's your WOJ team. That's who we're rooting for.
Here's WOJ?
Women of Jeopardy. Oh,
okay.
Here is your clue. She began her career singing Christian music, and in 2011, she became the first woman to have 5 number one pop hits from a single album. Ask me a hard one.
That's correct. She had to change her name because do you know what the name she actually went under
Catherine
before,
Hudson.
Or Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson.
Right. Which is now turned into, well, Katy Perry. Gordon, did you have this one?
Yeah, I did have this one. I thought it was incredible. I'm not going to say incredibly easy, but if you were in that era, it wasn't very hard. So I can see if people went for the Whitney Houston route.
That's true. Everyone got it right, but Otrivia Rodrigo won by $1. So,
right.
So they move on to the semi. Because, and by the way, I believe next week will be the last quarterfinal, and we'll be moving into the semis the week after that. Okay.
Right.
All right, so in game in the next quarterfinal round, we have Bugsy Moog with Brian from TOJ, from Regular Jeopardy, the Bayhive, and Four Queso the Cat. Okay, the category after the final Jeopardy round, Bugsy Moog, Four Queso the Cat 23-6, Four Queso the Cat at 72, and the Bayhive at 12-4. The category is the Tonys, the Clue. A two-time Grammy winner in 2013, this pop star won a Tony for Best Original Score, the first solo woman to win that award. I should have known this.
Ask me a hard one.
You okay. And this is also game show, it's a game show adjacent too, and I'll tell you why in a minute.
I know why it's game show adjacent. First of all, you should know that the musical is Kinky Boots, and
yep.
The writer is one Cindy Lauper.
And I had the pleasure of meeting her a couple of times in my radio gig back in the early 2000s. So, did you have that one too?
Shout out to Troy and Malachar, by the way.
What is your shout out? No, it's actually Wayne Brady. Who was also in this one, too.
Oh, Jay completely did not understand my Jeopardy reference.
No, I did not.
Once upon a time, there was a Jeopardy champion who used What is Kinky Boots in Final Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
There you
all
go.
Right. And by the way, the
so if you know what I'm talking about, write to Jason Block and explain.
Right. Bugsy Moog was the only one who got it right.
Yep.
Hey, move on.
Ryan and then, Lauren, congratulations from us.
Yes. Hey. Then in the last quarterfinal of the day, I love this one. You had Mission Impossible, Queen City Kids, and Little Pocket Monster going into final. This was a little tougher one. It was a lock game for Mission Impossible. Queen City Kids and Little Pocket Monsters were just there to just get fine. So the category is Common Threads. The Clue. Bryan Cranston noted his two biggest TV roles were very different, but had this notable wardrobe in common.
What is a snizzard pin?
No. Gordon, the correct answer.
What is Leonid the Magnificent and Jason Block?
No.
Those are two very, very different ones, even though they are related.
Yes, but the common thread in this case was white underpants or tidy whitey or anything of that ilk. Okay.
Yeah, Bryan Cranston claimed both of his major TV roles, Hal on Malcolm in the Middle and Walter White in Breaking Bad, saw him wear tidy whiteys. Sadly, he does not think Snizzard on Power Rangers is one of his major TV roles.
No, but Mission Impossible, they all got it right, but Mission Impossible moves on to the semis, and we will have the final quarterfinal matches in Jeopardy this week.
This is on me. It's time to crown a champion. So we're gonna go all the way back to last Thursday, where we had Drew Bathiel, Drew Goins, and Elish Drew Benjamori playing for the third spot. Going into the final, Basil had 6,800, Goins had 4,400, and Elish had 8,800. still
and by the way, I like the way they did that. They went by last name. Smart. Yes, they did.
Love it. So, going in, so we have the final Jeopardy category, ancient geography. Your clue. Wadi al-Malakat in Arabic, this site near a similar and better known location, was the burial place of Nefertari and others.
Now, I should have known this. I was a little bit sexist here because I went for Valley of the Kings.
Forward the correct answer, please.
What is Dollywood?
No, that's 6 hours that way.
Well, it's
a
Valley of the Queens, sort of,
kind of. It is Valley of the Queens. Very good, Gordon. Very good, Gordon. Drew Basile got it right. Elish also gets it right. Elish upsets the champ and goes on to play the first to three final. Game one, yeah, of course, your final three are Elish Vigilante, Isaac Hirsch, and Adrian Harmeyer. Game one goes to Adriana when everybody misses this one in European history. At his trial, revolutionaries referred to the deposed Louis XVI with his last name, one used previously for a dynasty.
And no one got up, no one, everyone whipped on Capet. Which,
right.
But Adriana bet correctly, so she gets her first point. Game two, Chica.
Really? Game two. Nealish has 31,600. Isaac has 18,008. Adrian is 54. Nealish picks up his first off of this clue in Men of War. Robert E. Lee's victory at Chancellorsville has been likened to this Greek victory at Asculum in 279 BC.
Once I saw it, I was like, what is Pyrrhus or Pyrrhus' victory? The victory where it cost too much, because I believe there was a heavy loss of life at Chancellorsville.
Correct. Correct on all accounts, correct.
Me.
Order.
I said, who was plaster of Paris when they used the concrete horse instead of a Trojan horse?
By the way, the loss was they had 13,000 soldiers, only 4,000 less than the Union at that battle. So yes, it was a Pyrrhic victory. So Nealish gets his first point, game three,
and then he gets his second when he locks this game away on this clue in contemporary authors. Asked by a student about the Loch Ness Monster, she said a time portal below could allow the prehistoric creature to pass through.
Put it to you this way, I was exactly what Isaac said, which was,
who's the Outlander lady?
Yeah, exactly, right. Yes, and pardon me for the chit reference there. But it is Diana Gabaldon who is the person in that. But Nealish locked it up, and he got the second one, and didn't have the best thing. Neither did, so he's in the driver's seat for
game four. This could wrap it up here, but Nealish is gonna have to do some work because Isaac has 22,200 to his 13,800, and this final Jeopardy. European artwork, the category. A rope around their leader's neck, the men depicted in his late 19th century piece seems resigned to death, but in the end, they survive.
I believe it was Gustave Rodin who did that one, I think, correct? Or am I wrong?
That is the correct artist that named the work.
No, but it is the Burgers of Calais is the piece by Rodin.
I could go for some Burgers of Calais, and Isaac is on the board now.
So we're going to game four.
Wait, I had what is Don't Leave Me Hanging?
Oh, oh my God. So,
okay, let's talk about tonight's game, where the Lich can throw it up again. He has 13,600. Adrian has 10,400. Isaac has 7,800. We have Greek Myth and this clue. Panoply, meaning all seeing, was the byname of this legendary figure played by Hermes while standing guard over Io.
I should have known this. All seeing.
I knew this.
You did. What is it?
What is the Argus?
Correct. Everybody gets it right, and Neowish, that's enough. He would have won by $1. So, Neowish Finjamori, you have won $250,000, taken the title from Yogesh Rout, yes?
Yeah.
And now, Chico, set the Jeopardy Masters lineup for us.
We do have a lineup for Jeopardy Masters. That is James Holzhauer, Victoria Gross, Yogesh Rout.
Right.
Our good friend Victoria Gross. Yogesh Rout. Neowish Finjamori, who just won the Tournament of Champions. A 2025 Producers Wild Card to be named later. And the winner of the 2025 Jeopardy Invitational Tournament, of which we have a lineup.
Right.
The lineup is alphabetically by first name, Amy Schneider, Avi Gupta, Ben Chan, Claire Sattler, Doug Molitor, Emily Sands, Hannah Wilson, Jackie Kelly, Jackson Jones, Jaskaran Singh, John Fox, Jonathan Fisher, Javeria Zahir, Luigi De Guzman, Margaret Shelton, Madam Odio, Maya Wright, Rachel Schwartz, Ray Lalone, Raymond Goslow, Robin Carroll, Roger Craig, Ryan Long, Seth Wilson, Shane Whitlock, a wild Whitlock appears, Skylar Hortak, and Troy Meyer. A lot of faces old and new, a lot of good friends of the site, a lot of good friends of ours. Not a schlub in the listing. They're all serious players.
According to the Inside Jeopardy podcast, there were people who were invited who could not make it, including, I believe, Makaya Roach. Brad Rutter, okay, according to, and I have to give this credit because I have not heard this one. Matea Roach, Andrew He, Chris Panullo, Julia Collins, and Brad Rutter, okay? They could not make the schedule. Now, legitimate question here, and yes, I am going to be egotistical. There are two names that are not on there, okay? Why is it not
Chico Alexander?
No. Well, you got it half right. Where's Brian Helfer's name on the list? He's a legitimate guy who should be there. I mean that for real. I'm not trying to kiss his butt. He deserves to be there. He was a semifinalist along with Luis de Guzman. He should be there. And myself, too. I think I should be there, too. They invited someone from the Art Fleming era. I am legit disappointed. And this is not me going, where. I'm disappointed for Brian. I really am. This is legitimate here.
You can check Brian to see if he's got some asthma pills for you.
Uh-huh. Very funny.
Happy birthday, Jay.
Here's the thing. Doug Molitor was on the Art Fleming reboot from 1978. He was also a four-game winner in 1987.
Okay.
That doesn't change the fact that Jason Block here and Brian Henniker here and Chico Alexander here. Sony has all of our numbers. Why didn't we get a phone call?
You can understand.
Okay, while I go out and order some Kleenex for everybody, can we move on?
Yeah, we can move on. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, let's head to work room, shall we? Okay, so tonight, last week's episode is the Let's Get Sea-Sickening Ball, okay? The guest judge is Hunter Schaefer, Law Roach.
Wait. Law Roach is in seat three. There's a reason why Law Roach is in seat three, sir.
Why? Where's RuPaul in this case?
Here's the thing. Law Roach has been promoted.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he is now in the rotation with Carson Kressley and Ross Matthews and Keith Madison. He is an alternating judge. Congratulations to him. And Hunter Schaefer is your guest judge for the Let's Get the Sickening Ball, by the way. Hunter Schaefer, actress, model,
transgender activist.
Right. And let's start with the mini challenge where we're transporting Anastasia Beverly Hills lipstick to a display case using only your mouth. The winners will each get $500, and that would be Acacia Forgot, Anya Nerve, Lexi Love, Lydia B. Collins, Sam Starr, and Susie Toot. Now we get ready for Bathing Beauties, Sea Creature Couture, and Sea Sickening Eleganza, because we are going to the Let's Get Sea Sickening Ball. The winner, Ariane, and much deserved because she was in the danger big time, I think.
Right.
Well, I think that she blew everybody out of the water in terms of what she did. I thought it was fantastic. And she really needed that after she almost went bye-bye last week.
Correct. And the bottom two were Hormonal Lisa and Lanagere. And Get Him Back was the song by Olivia Rodrigo, which was a fun little song. And Hormonal Lisa's Time, which was not very long to begin with. They're out of this.
Yep.
But the next 2 weeks are going to be real interesting because next week is Gordon's Snatch Game.
Snatch Game.
And then the week after that is The Wicked Wiz of Oz, the musical with guest judge Adam Lambert.
Yeah, and these are two of my favorite weeks in the RuPaul's Drag Race season. How can you not love Snatch Game? And the musicals are always fun. Even if the queens don't give out a really good performance, the lyrics and the performances are usually very clever.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, Quinta Brunson from Abbott Elementary is your guest judge on Snatch Game. So that will be fun. But Chico, Scandal on Deal or No Deal Island.
Scandal? Scandal? Don't you mean
controversy? Yes, controversy? Yes. Because a certain contestant got caught in the cookie jar. In this case, the title. Okay? Why don't you explain it?
Bit of a thing of how we got here. Dr. Will played the game and eliminated MG. And he played perhaps the most confusing round of Deal or No Deal I think I've ever seen, but that's just me. But let's talk about the excursion right now. There are three platforms, 10 cases above ground. One platform has the four highest cases, one has the four lowest, and one had 2 million mid-value cases. And on the platform with the mid-value cases was a Baker's Bust case.
Mm-hmm. I don't really want to see the Baker's bust.
Good night, everybody.
Right.
Okay, each player wants to grab the gold ring or knock off the ring attached to a case in order to be able to give a case to another player. The play cards in the cases were clues to their values. Here's how it all went down. Leet had $3.5 million. Dixon had $1.5 million. Seychelle, this is Lachelle, this is DK, has $1 million. Will has $3 million. Philip has $2.75 million. David has $3.25 million. And Seychelle misses. Round two, Seychelle quits. Lachelle gets $2 million plus the Baker's bust. And Parvati gets $2.5 million.
Okay.
So CK is nominated for a round.
But you forgot something very important. You've got something incredibly important.
Oh, yes. Okay. Here's the thing. Going back to CK here. Targets Dixon.
CK did something bad.
He grabs a low-value case. DK picked who would go next. She looked in the box. She got caught. She looked in the box and got caught pulling Leet's name.
And by the way, if I were on the show, that would be cause for immediate goodbye. You're out of there. Go away. You're done. You cheat.
I mean, like what happened with Marv. Well, you knew they weren't going to do that because of what happened with Rob Mariano last season. They penalized him, but they didn't knock him out of the game. Eventually, the penalty knocked him out of the game, but they just didn't say penalization. So
she was consistent for
what they were doing, but it still doesn't make it better.
No, okay. Put it to you this way. Remember last year when I said it, and I said that Rob should have been kicked out then, too. Okay, I said.
I agree.
Okay, so I'm.
But you're not the producer, still.
I understand that. But now everyone thinks CK is a cheater. But moving on.
Okay, so Leet's case has the highest value, $3.5 million. Parvati and Lachelle open their cases. Lachelle has the Baker's bust, so she is immediately up for elimination, along with the low cases, CK, Dixon, and Seychelle. Almost as if karma came to bear, DK is called out to play Deal or No Deal. DK's first value, $351,000 with 1, 2, 3, 4 cases bigger.
And how many smaller?
1, 2, 3, 4.
So it's 50-50 at this point.
It is 50-50, and she says no deal. Next round.
Well, and that would be the correct play. You want to try to get some sort of advantage in your favor. So
right.
Absolutely no deal.
Right. Okay. Second round is $1,002.5 million, $503.5 million. So again, 50-50, with the offer being $656,000.
And again, it should be no deal because, again, 50-50 is the worst possible. 50-50 is the worst possible natural scenario. So there is no advantage to stopping at this point. So definitely no deal.
Right. So then in round three, $1, $3.25 million. The final offer is $925,000 to be continued.
Yeah. It is still 50-50 at this point, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, because there's no...
Yeah, so basically she hasn't gotten a... she hasn't gotten a break yet or any sort of advantage or disadvantage. So it's really going to be grand eternal coin flip to settle this one.
It will. And we will.
And we'll.
$2 million is left. And what else is left?
$250 and $2 million are the only two cases left.
Okay.
And we will find out who has what and what happens next week.
But let us continue Jackpot January into February at Haven Studios as we continue The Price is Right at night. And boy, was this a fun episode.
Almost perfect. Kenneth starts out with an electric scooter. Hopefully he'll take that to Australia, Belize, and Croatia. He just needs to pick out the most expensive. He goes with Australia. Belize is $11,531. Croatia is $13,460. Australia, $14,720. That's a win.
Yay!
Becky has a martial arts package and is playing switcheroo for a vacuum, a globe, a 7-egg cooker, a ski mask, oh, and by the way, a 2025 Chalk Force 718 Cayman Coupe Style Edition with a 7-speed automatic transmission, rear-wheel drive, 4C+, pedals, and footrest in aluminum. The car is $83,300. The numbers are 13469. So,
now, if you are a Price is Right fan, the obvious choice here is the one.
Okay.
But will they do that for an $80,000 car?
Okay. No, because she puts the 9 in the car, 3 in the sleep mask, 1 in the egg cooker at the last minute, by the way, 40 at the globe, 60 at the vacuum. How many does she have? No, please. 3. She stops. Okay? One of them is the egg cooker at $16. The second one is the sleep mask at $35.
Ooh.
The third one is not the globe, nor is it the vacuum. She wins the Porsche at $83.90.
All right. Francis, next with a camping gear and a chance to take said camping gear with a massage chair, an ice barrel plunge pool, and an infrared sauna, basically a home spa sort of situation, all worth $24,499 in the first
game. I love this. This is great.
This is perfect. Big money twist coming. If Francis can get the total between $20 and $22 on one item, she has we'll tack on $25,000 cash money.
Gordon, do you
I think that's easy. I think the better play would have been, she's got to use all 5 items.
Ooh.
Whoa, okay. Oh, you know? I like that idea, too. That's even nastier.
Yeah, that is even nastier. All right, so.
Because one, if you can only do one, then you know from a bullseye perspective, there is a way to do it.
Right.
Okay, so.
So, because they wouldn't do that if they didn't give you that option. So.
Yep. Products are Mrs. Red's Pudding Pie, Roto Red Eye Drops, Ready Whip Whipped Cream, Bob's Red Mill Baking Powder, and Hawaiian Punch Red Flavor.
Red Drink. Red Dye number 30.
Didn't they ban that?
Yeah, they did. So Francis decides to go for the home run and takes 6 Hawaiian Punches. She should have picked 7. She would have won the whole thing. But she has $17.94.
Yeah.
Then she goes for one whipped cream and is over by 23 cents. The only thing that would have helped her would have been, I believe, if I remember right, 6 pudding pies at $3. 56.
Okay, Becky wins at the wheel. Meanwhile, Richard gets a Simply Safe Home security system and a chance to use it as he's off to the Maldives if he wins balance game. The bags, 826, 4,000, 8,000, and 12,000. He goes with 16,826. That's right. Next we go with Miguel with a poker table. We're
$39. Oh, I love that poker table. That is
a legit poker table. That's not your folding chair type of poker table. That is a legit table.
And he is playing Dice Game for a 2025 Volvo S60 V5 Core Dark Theme SUV with 2-liter engine, 8-speed automatic transmission, front-wheel drive climate package, protection package, display, polishing, cloth, and first aid kit. The car starts with a 4.
Yep.
Okay. First number. He rolls a 5.
5. That is correct. 5 alive. 5 alive. 5 alive. 5 no jive. Second number.
6.
6 is wrong, but he knows it's lower.
Then the third roll is a 1, which is also wrong.
That's also a free roll.
Now, if he gets this right, automatic win. It's a three.
Actual price, $45,243.
Very nice. And in a painful final game. Oh boy.
Sarah is left with a coin flip. And $1,000 free and clear off of half off. Just has a cell phone holder, a bike pump, electrical stapler, an oatmeal bowl, a snorkel, and a little green steamer. This is for $100,000. She's left with 5 and 10. She picks 10.
So, it was a 5. It was 5. Painful loss. But Sarah actually goes to the showcase. And so Becky sees the first showcase, which is the Creme de la Creme, an antique mock bar cabinet, a trip to Lake Tahoe in a penthouse suite at the Everline Resort with all meals, and a 2025 BMW 228 XL Grand Coupe with a bunch of options. She passes it to Sarah, who bids 58.5. And now the get-rich-quick is a loaded home office with furniture, Mac Mini, 5K monitor, and an 86-inch 4K UHTV, and a Lexus NX 250 Copper Crest SUV Premium. She bids $60,000. You have the totals.
I do. Actual price of Sarah's showcase is $55,343. Actual price, Becky's showcase. Are you kidding me? $53,426.
Hit the button. Yeah. Wow.
We had a good thing going for a while, didn't we? Then it just kind of fell apart.
It was a good show. And I believe we'll have one more before the premiere of Survivor, I think. That right, I believe
you are correct. So that is next week. But in the meantime, let's talk about something that launched this week, and that is the news show Extracted, which is basically what would happen if Survivor and The Moment of Truth and Solitary had a kid. If three people had a kid, that would be kind of sort of weird. But yeah, here's how it goes. There are a group of contestants struggling out in the wild. That is the wilderness of British Columbia. Their loved ones are...
And the prize, by the way, is $250,000.
Yes. Meanwhile, in a separate soundstage, we have groups of three representative of their families. The two that aren't in the woods live in a place called headquarters for the duration of the contest, where they can watch their loved ones basically it's basically Big Brother out in the woods. At any time, a family member can hit a button and extract their loved one from the forest, but then they forfeit a chance at $250,000. So this is basically a game that you are playing, but you, at the same time, do not have any control over.
This is all sort of throwing a little bit of Hunger Games in there, because they can give items and stuff, and there's a little bit of social interplay that goes along with that. You can help them, you can hurt your opponents, you can do all sorts of stuff. The good. I love this premise. This is a fun premise, and it reminds me, there's a couple of really great horror movies that are based on this premise, where, yeah, you are trying to do your own thing, and you can be helped and hurt by other people. There's definitely Hunger Games that's thrown in here, obviously not the version that will kill other people.
The Condemned.
But you see that? Oh, yeah, a little bit of Condemned. I would agree with you on that. Stone Cold Steve Austin reference. So I like it from that aspect. So what other good stuff do you guys like about this? Because there is good in here.
Oh, you pretty much nailed the good. I mean, there is a whole lot of social interplay, a whole lot. The production values are astonishing. But here's the thing. I have a problem.
No. I don't think there's anything good here, and I'll tell you why. To me, this is survivalist game show pleasure. I can't say the P word. I don't want to say
corn.
What about Schadenfreude?
Yeah, there's Schadenfreude.
There's definitely a lot of that in there also. Yeah.
Okay. I don't like game shows where you have to legitimately be where the person who is playing has no control of their fate. Zero.
Absolutely. You know, they could play the best game, but if they are extracted, their game is over. That's
reminds me of? The element of the contract in the wall.
You know what it reminds me
of? I'm going to disagree with you here a little bit, Jay. I think the player has plenty of control in this game. Because part of this is, on the player's part, trying to convince everybody, hey, I'm okay, I'm fine, you don't need to move me. So I think a lot of that is there. I do think there's some interplay that way, which I can think makes the gameplay a little bit queasy. But I think for the most part, yes. At the end of the game, the final part goes over to their family. But I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I think the player has a lot of control.
All right, I don't necessarily see it that way. I see it as you could play the best game in the world, but if the family thinks, oh, you're not going to be there, you know, they'll push the button at any time. That's where mm-hmm.
That's the problem I have. The problem I have is that you can play the best game, but at the end of the day, you have no control over it.
I'll disagree for the sake of disagreeing. Well, not for the sake of disagreeing. You do have control of it. How well you can go into your family, how well you can show. I mean, if you can show them immediately, hey, I got shelter, I got fire, I'm good. This is only a little bit of an issue, but it's not that much of an issue. You'll be okay. It's only, and part of this, I think, at the end of the game or near the end of the game, and this is where I think you guys are going to have a point here. You are going to have manipulation by the producers on this. We didn't see that much of it in episode 1. I'm sure we're going to see a whole bunch of it, episode 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, etc.
Right.
So editing and manipulation is going to be key on this. That I agree with you with, because I think as much as they are saying, yeah, you're going to see everything, I don't think you're going to see everything.
You're not going to.
I think there's... Yeah, so I think the editing will pull a play here, and on that aspect, I agree with you guys. which is why I'm not giving it an A. I think there's too many things that can be manipulated that the game can go wrong, but I love this premise. If they play fair, I love this. Part of me thinks they're not going to, which is why I'm going to drop the B grade down to a B minus. And I think there's going to be enough cringeworthy elements in there. And again, it's the execution more of the premise. So I'm going to go B minus. You can probably convince me to go C plus, but I absolutely love this idea.
Okay, the idea may be great, but the execution makes me like cringe. It really does. I'm actually going to go not C plus. I'll even go C minus.
You know, I could forgive all of it. I mean, I could forgive everything that goes on in this game if it weren't so boring. It's a D. It's an absolute D. You are we really doing this?
Yeah, we are.
Well, I am gonna agree with you that the pacing is slow. You can give me that argument. I'm not gonna disagree with you on that. But I actually think you needed the pacing slow at this point to introduce everybody, to get all the players going, and to understand the gameplay. So I don't disagree with you in terms of why you can feel that way, but I'm still staying with my B minus.
Okay, but we have some real news.
I hope you have.
Go for it, Chico.
All right, so last week we were talking about how Sony was, in essence, taking over distribution rights for Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. Well, the judge says to Sony, not so fast, Eager McBeaver. Last Thursday morning, the media giant saw the courts put the brakes on its attempted full-scale takeover of Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy from CBS Media Ventures. Sony's Suzanne Preet said on Monday that she sent a letter to Wendy McMahon informing that Sony had taken back all control of Wheel of Jeopardy, including global distribution. That's the letter that was sent. However, the courts have ruled that a temporary restraining order is to be in effect until at least February 18th, that is next week, when a further status conference hearing is scheduled. Among other agenda items, that February 18th hearing is extended to set dates for a session on a possible permanent restraining order. The judge in this case is clearly hoping Sony and CBS can work something out in the next few weeks to settle this dust up once and for all before a long protracted court case.
That ain't happening. Nope. We're going to get a judge's ruling one way or the other. We thought we were going to. Not right now.
Well, here's the thing. You said as much last week as that All of this huffing and puffing and the battle of the letters and the trying to win over the court of public opinion, that's all bread and circuses. The real moves are being done in the shadows where nobody watches, everybody's concentrating, and frankly, it's kind of boring.
Based on everything else that's going on in the world, I don't think the court of public opinion really cares that much about this as much as we do. And even at that point, most people look at this like, hey, it's a bunch of people. They own more money than we do. They want more of it. Why should we care? So I'm going to be richer than ghosts. Whatever.
Okay.
Yep.
That's my personal thing. I do agree with both of you. I think this could go either way. I think that we do see settlement, and I think we see it once side totally realizes they're not going to win.
Yes, exactly. We will see. But with that, we close the first act. What's happening, Chico, in Act 3?
Act 3, still to come. We've got some good news, and we've got some bad news. we do. It's we're living in a dark time. We kind of need the good news, but then again, we kind of have to have some bad news to go with the good. But first, that's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. I'm Chico Alexander, 6751. Your hope for when we look to interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
I will give you 22 things that Jason Block enjoyed this past year as we celebrate his birthday. There were 22 things, right, Jay?
depends on the day. I did like the Yankees going to the World Series. I didn't like them losing. That was the bad news. I got to do a lot of cool stuff this past year. Got to watch a lot of cool game shows, and I'm here, so I'm very happy about that. So,
and we're glad you are here.
Me too. But we've got more stuff to do, and we'll do that right after this. Here at 5-1, we'll be right back. This is We Love to Interrupt.
It's not just a donation.
It's a warm blanket.
It's a bottle of clean water.
It's a roof and a bed.
It's knowing someone cares.
It's feeling safe.
It's a today that's better than yesterday.
Every dollar you can spare helps so much more than you can imagine. Donate now to help people affected by the 2025 California wildfires. Your support is urgently needed.
WLTI's Brain Vision News is presented by Law Roach's Law. You've seen him on the panel of RuPaul's Drag Race. Now he's putting down the hammer in his own courtroom show. That is Law Roach's Law, where the bailiffs are stylish.
They are very fashionable.
I thought they would all be wearing wigs.
With a wig.
Look at the British court. You've seen wigs.
And they're very stylish.
They are.
There you go.
But we have a lot of news and not a lot of time, so let's go.
Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media, Doug Morris Games at Rock 104 Rock Tracks and at Tracks Productions. And you can listen to Doug Morris as he hosts his Rock Tracks with Doug Morris from high atop his palatial Pine Belt estate on Rock 104, WXRR, Hattiesburg, 104.5 on your FM dial, and all over the net.
Multiverse.
On Rock104FM.com and the Rock 104 and Odyssey apps. Now, my rose is dying.
It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh.
It's business. It's business time.
Normally, we have a summer season of The Bachelorette, one woman's journey looking for love, but ABC has decided to pause The Bachelorette for 2025. It will not be returning for season 22, at least this year. According to Jesse Palmer, the good news is I know it's not going away. It's definitely coming back. Without being able to get into too much of the creative decisions on it, I know that when it does, I just think it's going to be absolutely tremendous.
Oh, I'm not sure if I agree with Jesse Palmer on this one. I think there may be a zombie sighting.
I agree with you, Gordon. I mean, look, the Bachelorette franchise needs a refresh, and this may be the start of something to it. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, Chico, this may be a little bit too early, but let's cue zombies.
Rain!
Will you take
Which
this?
Which is rain? Ironic. Yeah, exactly. The irony of the situation. But yeah, if they can't get their act together now, you know, what makes you think they're going to get their act together later? And when you look at it this way, this is a really easy, cheap, cost-effective show to produce. So there's definitely something going on here that we're not aware of.
Yeah, there.
Because this should have been a slam dunk, and it's not.
There's some hickiness going on here.
A little bit.
I know we're not going to be discussing that in the date book, Jay, but what are we going to be discussing?
Well, we're discussing today, we had the season finale of Beast Games, where someone won not $5 million, but $10 million due to a coin. Okay?
We could.
Now, I have to ask, Jimmy says that there's going to be a season 2 and 3. Do you agree with that?
I'll say 12, 22, 32, 52, 92. If Beast can pull that numbers out on Amazon and make it not just Amazon's biggest show by a mile, but almost all of cable streaming media's biggest show in a mile with those numbers that quickly, it's going to go on for as long as Jimmy Donaldson wants that show to go on. Because nothing screams renewal like numbers and money and ad rates.
Yeah. Or subscriptions. We don't know how many people subscribe to it. Next Level Chef premiered on Fox. Tomorrow on Friday is the season premiere of Love is Blind. Saturday is I've Got News for You. And oh boy, the Love is Blind case is going to be coming up soon. And that's going to be interesting if things go there. Sunday is the Tournament of Champions on Food Max, and WWE Legends and Future Greats, or LFG, will premiere on A&E. Also on Friday, because the Tournament of Champions ended early, they are actually going to show the exhibition game between Adriana Horemeyer, Isaac Hirsch, and I believe Drew Basile that was put on TuneIn Radio, and then on Monday, you forgot to put that in there.
That's because I didn't know this was going to end that quickly.
Right, Monday starts the JIT. Tuesday's the premiere of a show we're all interested in, Offline Love, and Too Hot to Handle Germany. And Wednesday is the season finale of Love Island All-Stars. And we have a friend of the site, Dead Actor.
Yes, we do. All right.
Full disclosure, I have actually written a couple of subjects for Go Fact Yourself. And I have fact checked Go Fact Yourself, which is a podcast which is run by our good friend J. Keith Van Stratton. And I believe Helen Hong, I believe her?
Yes.
Okay, which is taped in the Los Angeles area. But what's happening there?
Well, WUWM, which is the NPR station out of Milwaukee, by the way, we are big fans of public media. Please support public media. Anyway, WUWM has picked up the rights to air some episodes of that podcast as an actual series, and the pilot program is going to last from February 15th to June 28th, every Saturday at 11. And if it does well enough, NPR just might take it national.
I hope so. I really do. It's one of my favorite. It really is a good pop. It's a good, it's a fun little thing. It's fun.
It is a fun little thing. And you can play along with your with the show on the website starting February 15th.
Right.
By the way, the I'd be remiss if I did not mention the website. It is, what is the website?
What? It's GoFactYourself.com, I believe.
GoFactYourPod.com.
Yes, GoFactYourPod.com. GoFactYourPod.com. And
by the way, the next taping is next Sunday, February 23rd, 7 p.m. in Los Angeles. If you are in, or if you are or planning to visit the Los Angeles area.
Indeed.
That would be a very smart idea to go.
Especially in the Los Angeles area where all businesses need their help. Do not forget about them as the fires are continuing to be the aftermath of that. This, by the way, makes me angry, not just dumb. This is not angry, just dumb.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb, for real.
Okay, so Kanye West, who has been known to make anti-Semitic and anti-Jewish statements and has continued to do so, one, got kicked off of Twitter for all his anti-Semitic BS. Two, got kicked off of Shopify because he was selling t-shirts with a swastika on them. And three, his latest wife is divorcing him after less than a year or however long it was.
Yeah, number three may have something to do with numbers one and two, which may be correlated. Either one or two has resulted in three, or three has resulted in one and two, because this is usually how he reacts when someone is leaving him.
Correct. And combined with the fact that if you saw the Grammys, that was not good.
What he was, no.
That was a very bad misogynistic look. And if you don't know what it is, Google it, kids. I'm not here to teach you anything. Okay? You know
simply
what I'm saying?
Put, we are watching in real time Kanye West finding out. Do you know why Kanye West is finding out?
Yeah, because he effed around. That's why.
All right.
Okay. But we need some haterade.
Haterade!
Okay.
Do you know there was a thing called the Zeus Network?
No, I did not. I'm looking it up right now.
Well, there's a thing called the Zeus Network. It is hosting a show called Bad vs. Wild, which has, which, according to press releases, has special guests who compete in various games to settle pre-existing beef. The participants are split into two teams called Bad and Wild. They go head to head, and a well-known artist performs at the show's end. This sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's so familiar because A, Nick Cannon is producing it, and B, Nick Cannon is hosting it.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. In the words of Rob Schneider, make good copy.
Make good copy.
Copy data is serious. But the thing is, Viacom is going, hey, Nick, you can't do the same thing twice. It's got to be a little bit more different than this.
According to the complaint, shows are, and now I'm quoting, extremely similar. The new logo for Bad vs. Wild copies the look, typeface, and arrangement, and the show's format and stage designs are nearly identical. In an age, by the way, this is from attorneys representing Viacom, quote, in an age, in an era where original content is at a premium, Zeus has chosen the path of least resistance, stealing the fruits of Viacom's goodwill and decades of labor and innovation, and pawning it off as its own original idea for its own financial gain, end quote.
I see settlement coming.
So what, you think money will be exchanged? Or do you...
I believe some money and or contract issues shall be exchanged. Because if I am Viacom, I need something to be on the air because right now,
we got the challenge.
I don't think they're going to shut Nick Cannon down. I think there'll be some sort of financial resolution. Yep.
They need some content because right now all they have is the challenge and Drag Race.
And what is that ridiculousness?
Because they can only repeat the same 8 episodes of Ridiculousness.
No, there's been a lot more episodes than 8, dude.
I know, but...
I was going to say, before Chico goes out and spins something that's not there, where are we sending Chico and everybody else?
We're going to Italy, Botswana, and Canada.
Uh-huh. Been around the world and I can't find my baby. All right, so the Belgian format, 99 to beat, has been picked up by Rai Due for air in Italy. And you know the rule, all you have to do is not come in last.
Mm-hmm.
And the prize is 99,000 euros. So that's going to be fun. And then from there, we're going to, I need Rob Paulson's help on this.
Right. Because the Family Feud is going there. Steve Harvey going to host that one too? Or no?
Yes, he is.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. Okay. And what is this Canadian one?
Okay. So we have a new show that's going to be, quote, the 1 versus 100 killer. Well, actually, that's something else we're going to be talking about next week. But this is similar to, but legally distinct from that show. It is one question. There's one question every episode and 20 answers, 20 possible answers. All you have to do is pick the right one to win a huge cash prize.
I've seen the British version of this show. It is very good. It is very quirky. It's really, really fun because, you know, throughout the game, you're eliminating answers. If you accidentally eliminate the correct one, you lose.
Yep. It is being picked up.
This is fun. And I think I think it's got wings. I think it can do well in other countries.
Yeah, one of those countries is going to be Francophone Canada because Ichi Radio Canada has picked up 12 episodes.
All right.
A question.
So we're going to have some worldwide global media pros with this. I know that.
I got pros in different area codes. Pros in different area codes.
In the Media Pro Report, Matt James deletes his breakup note on Instagram, as one does. David Madden, former Jeopardy champion, appears on the floor. His subject is European geography. By the way, also on the floor, Brian O'Halloran, Dante from Clerks, whose subject is convenience store items.
Of course.
The invites have been sent to the JIT. We talked about that. Beverly Ortega bows out of The Bachelor due to a medical emergency. Tia Booth welcomes her second child. Joan Vassos is not getting married this year. Johnny Bananas is denying having sent a racist tweet to Taylor Hale.
By the way, I want to talk about that for about a half second, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay. The opinions of Jason Block. The opinions of Jason Block do not represent.
It has nothing to do. I'm not ripping anybody here, but Gordon, I just have no. All joking aside on this, okay? If he is deferring his tweets and his social media to an outside company, he should be at least a little responsible for it, don't you think? Just a little?
I believe the word that you're looking for is liable.
Ooh, okay.
And to be quite honest, I don't know nearly enough about the situation to make any sort of educated guess on what it is. I'm thinking, though, if they're going to put it out there, then they've got something.
Well, Taylor Hale does, too. And put it to you this way. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly. I will just say that. Keep going. It's
very ugly.
Very ugly. Okay. We lost Tony Roberts this week. Jinx Monsoon has legally changed her name to Hera Lilith Hopper.
Yes, and there's a very good article about that.
Dave Coulier is doing okay during cancer treatment. Bob the Drag Queen has his favorites on the Traitors. Lou Schneider talks about his house burning down. Remember Lou Schneider, host of Make the Grade, seasons 1 and 2 on Nick. And Johnny Fair plays Grandmother Dies for real this time.
Yes. And by the way, didn't our license plate say something like dead grandma or something like that?
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. I saw the article on that. Very cool.
But none of them are your pros of the week. And for that, we have to go back to the UK and Graham Norton with his new show, The Neighborhood. He is fronting a street-sized 12-part reality game show for ITV in which families and households compete for a cash prize. The show will see real-life households move in side-by-side to compete in challenges. Living together 24/7, they will need to stay popular with their neighbors or risk being voted out.
What was that J.D. Watt show where people...
Opportunity Knox?
The one. Yep. Wow. That's what it sounds like with a little bit of a you know, family test, twist, sort of.
You know what it reminds me of? There Goes the Neighborhood, where they have an entire neighborhood blocked off and, like, the third place winner of some season of American Idol hosting. By the way, he was a really good host on that.
Mm-hmm.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brave Mr. Jason, if you would, please.
Running down now.
And as we cross into Friday here on the East Coast, let me be the first to wish you a very happy birthday, Jason.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And the good news is I'm 57 years old and another rotation around the sun. The bad news is we have to take a break because we can't celebrate more because we've got another act to do. So we will be right back right after this here on WLTI. This is 5 and 1. We'll be right back.
Brain Vision has been brought to you by Kentucky Fried Tar Heels.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
This week's flavor, Clementine Clemson. Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling. That is Kentucky Fried Tar Heels. Grandpa Sunrise.
Well, the good news is... baseball season will be here before we know it.
Yay! Hey. The bad news is we have to wait 6 weeks. Yeah, but here's the good news and the bad news. This is how the game works. We will give bad news about certain things. Give us the good news then. Like this, for example, Shugo.
The bad news. The Bachelorette is on a break this summer.
The good news is the $50 million condom budget will now be cut from the USAID. We'll be head towards the Bachelorette franchise for next year.
Oh, you went there, didn't you?
Yes. Come on!
It's not even true!
Come on!
Well, in that case, I'll take a page out of Jay's book then. The good news is all the racial issues that we're going to be having will only be limited to the budget, the DIE, and the government, and at least this time around, will not be going to the Bachelor franchise and playing again. Not at least for this year.
Very good. Okay.
The good news is this frees up another time slot for game shows. Yay!
Yeah, very good. Okay,
I'm
hold on.
Trying to take that. Hey, when you go low, I punch you there. No.
Okay, I have one actually. I need to find the actual name of this because I actually have a fun. Okay, all right. The bad news is the Amazing Race is putting in the fork in the road twist.
The good news, bigger production value means lusher environs.
No. The good news is Wile E. Coyote will have a job painting a tunnel into a wall, misdirecting the teams as they're trying to get to the pit stop.
Really?
Really?
The good news is that Wile E. Coyote will be helped by that guy that does all the 3D printings and paintings over on TikTok and social media.
I know which one you're talking about, by the way.
Okay. All right, Gordon, you have one.
Yes, the bad news. Sony is stuck with the injunction to CBS. So we don't know who is delivering or if there even will be delivery of Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune.
The good news, it's probably going to happen because you don't want to piss off the affiliates.
The good news is you still can. The good news is you could plug in reruns from everything outside of the big fans. Not many people will notice, and the ratings will stay the same.
The good news is we can see Chico Alexander's episode over and over and over and over again, and at least somebody will say, wait, there's Pat Sajak. He's returned to Wheel of Fortune. Hurrah! And we'll put it all over social media, and then we need to correct him on it.
Exactly.
Too much work, guys. Too much work.
Yeah. All right. Chico?
All right. The bad news. After this season, both Pictionary and Person, Place, or Thing are going away.
Cue zombies. Sir.
Rain!
The good news is maybe we'll have a shot at even more game shows with maybe a better financial format.
The good news is with hosts like Jerry O'Connell and Melissa Peterman, they will be back on their feet again in no time.
The good news is all these celebrities can now be on Hollywood Squares.
Ooh, very good. Very good. Okay. Okay. The bad news is Disney had to pick up the slack and pay contestants and their staff over $1 million on Lucky 13.
The good news is Shaquille O'Neal will pay the rest of the staff with all the money that he usually has for breakfast.
No, that was couch cushion money, dude.
For him, it is. It's like an 1 hour rental at his basketball court in his mansion. It's probably like $500,000.
He makes that much. The money he gives away, the money he can give away, he makes doing Shaq to the Fool every week. So, not a big problem. That's the good news.
There you go.
And finally,
I guess I will take this one.
Well, I hope you would.
Okay. I will. The bad news is that Kelsea Ballerini has had to cancel concerts because she's sick or preggo or take your pick. Or both.
The good news, I think she'll be better in time for live shows on The Voice.
The good news is she can move right from The Voice to Bet on Your Baby, because she'll have one already. They're going to auditions right now. I think they're auditioning while the kidlet's in the womb.
Kelsea Baby Reedy.
Kelsea Baby Reedy. Kelsea Baby Meanie.
So, no, what I was about to say was, I just had a break because I said Puppy's Munchie Baby. Okay? And, but we could, you could do the third break at another time, because we have a speed round to get to. And we're going to do that right after this here. This is 5-1 and the WLTI. We'll be right back.
Kelsea Baby Reenie.
WLTI has been brought to you by Jason Block on the floor. No, he's not going to be on the game show. That's where he's going to be in an hour after he drinks himself into a tizzy after celebrating his birthday. That is Jason Block on the floor.
I wish I had, but thank you very much. I think I could work that out one way or the other. But yeah, before I get ossified, let's start a speed round and let's do that now. Jeopardy Invitational Tournament. Give me somebody who's going to make the finals.
Amy Schneider. Again.
Nope. I'm going to go with Zahir. Juveria. She's really good.
Yeah, she's really good.
Jason Block, just to make him feel better.
Oh.
Believe me, I wish.
Happy birthday to you.
RuPaul's Drag Race, is Lana Jure next to go for Snatch Game?
I think Lingerie is going to be good for that. She is a comedy queen. This one could be issues for fashion queens, because that's their strength. Ariadne, I'm talking to you.
Okay. Very good. You're right.
Deal or No Deal Island. A CK caught with the hand in the cookie jar. Who is next to go?
CK.
No. You know what? I think CK survives. I think nobody's happy. And I think a big threat is going away.
I don't think a big threat's going away in terms of CK. I think she's an easy target to get rid of. So I think she winds up at the bottom and is not playing Deal or No Deal, I think she could be in trouble.
All right, do we have any mail? Do we have any missives on Gordon's behalf?
I don't think so,
not this time around. That's unfortunate.
Aww.
It is unfortunate because WLTI at GameShowNewsNet.com is
Is our email. Our social media is mine is on the on X is Beat the Block number 2.
I am on Facebook, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Dino R. Alexander.
And I am GSNN Haterade.
And of course, the show is at Game Show News Net. The network's at 5&1net. That's the number 5ANDONENET, where we post everything and anything going on network wide. For example, Jason, myself, and Ian did the season wrap up on the BS Big Show after we did the live show on Sunday. We missed you, Gordon.
Sorry.
But yeah, we did the live show on Sunday. We did the live show on Sunday, and on Tuesday we did the season wrap-up as we do the way-too-early look at the 2025 NFL season.
And the road to Santa Clara starts in April in Green Bay with the draft. And by the way, Karen Rogers and the Jets have officially broken up.
Moment of silence. Moment over.
Next. Of course, over on the NAWC, we have a pay-per-view with NXT, the debut of Ricky Starks on NXT. Vengeance Day will be in D.C. this Saturday. And the road to Elimination Chamber in 2 weeks is going on. And also, they are taping in Australia. AEW is taping in Australia this coming Friday/Saturday to be broadcast after the All-Star game. So there's that. Gordon, what's happening in the UBA?
UBA is business as usual, but the weeks are starting to get together for Mega Bowl. Road there, that is considered almost the halfway mark of the UBA regular season.
Ooh, can't wait for that.
UBA today got info for all your Underground Bowling Association needs. Chico, quickly, it was a thing.
We are beginning our celebration of Black History Month with 2 new episodes, The New Odd Couple with Ron Glass and Damon Wilson, and Me and the Boys with Steve Harvey and Madge Sinclair. We also have a new show on the feed. It is called The Squared Circle Time Machine with Greg Diener and Dane Wojcik. That's all. It was a thing on TV.com.
So, what's happening next week?
Next week, we do a whole lot of reviewing. We are reviewing Offline Love. We are reviewing WWE LFG. And we're reviewing the first couple of matches of the Jets.
And, of course, RuPaul's Drag Race. And we're heading towards New Survivor, New Amazing Race, as we head to springtime, hopefully.
Warmer days are ahead, my friends. Warmer days are ahead. All of that is next week, but for now, for Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for everybody at 5&1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Good night. Bit,
This program.